Welcome once again to Mr. Jeffreyon's World History Podcast. This is episode 6, and today we will discuss early societies in the Americas and Oceania. If you would like to submit a question for the podcast, you may do so by calling the Google voice number 321-804-APWH. That's 321-804-2794. The cool thing about that is your message will be heard on the show for the world to hear. The other way to submit questions is by email, and the email for the show is mrjeffreyon@gmail.com. Just include your question and first name. We will take care of the rest. Before we get too far, I would like to thank my TA, Tanner, for putting together the framework for this episode. Teaching 8 classes, maintaining 2 websites, and meeting these deadlines for the podcast is very challenging, and I appreciate all of the help my TAs provide. They are my writing team. Sometimes I have to edit a little to make it sound like me, but they provide the foundation so I don't have to lock myself in a room every weekend to get this done. Right off the bat, I would like to point out some themes you may notice while listening to this episode. First, you will see how limited our knowledge is concerning America and Oceania. Second, how early societies in a region influence societies that will develop later. Third, how geography can be an obstacle to cross-cultural exchange, but also ways in which humans overcome that obstacle. Lastly, we'll see how influential long-distance trade can be in the development of a culture. One thing to keep in mind is that the complex societies of the Americas and Oceania developed in complete isolation from the rest of the world. In the Mediterranean, so many cultures were brought together and influenced the development of that region. Practices that started out in the Fertile Crescent would be adopted and adapted by those in Africa, Europe, and Central Asia. The Americas and Oceania are separate from that, which allows for the development of some truly unique civilizations. First, let's look at the Americas. Due to the lack of any sort of written records and language, and a lack of archaeological findings, historians don't know as much about early American societies as we know about, say, European or Asian societies. Humans migrated across the Bering Land Bridge that surfaced between Alaska and Siberia during the last glacial period. This happened somewhere around 15,000 years ago. Back then, humans were foragers and hunters who migrated throughout the Western Hemisphere in search of their next meal, and in North America at least, probably remained so until the Common Era. Hunting, fishing, and foraging communities were relatively small, very similar to the Paleolithic Age. They tended to follow big prey, which they could easily hunt down and kill, such as woolly mammoths. This may have contributed to the process of mammoth extinction. Eventually, people began to spread out and move farther down into Central and South America. In Mesoamerica, Mesoamerica is Central America, and South America, humans had developed agricultural practices by about 7500 BCE and established trading networks of agricultural settlements and villages by circa 2000 BCE. It is important to note that while the people of the early Mesoamerican and South American civilizations succeeded in domesticating plants, there were no large mammals suitable for transportation in the Western Hemisphere, which, depending on one's point of view, either limited their potential or makes their achievements seem much more remarkable in the development of their societies. The only herding animals in the West were the llamas and the alpacas of the Andean regions in South America. No beasts of burden meant there would never be carts or wagons, and perhaps because of this, the people of the Americas never developed the wheel. That means these civilizations relied entirely on manpower, human power. Every stone you see in early Mesoamerican or Andean architecture was moved by humans working together, often dragging building materials hundreds of miles. The roots of Mesoamerican culture and civilization begin with the Olmec, known as the Rubber People. The Olmecs lived near the Gulf of Mexico and were perhaps best remembered for making colossal human heads, which many believed to be linked to their previous rulers. The Olmec economy was a traditional one, involving the cultivation of maize and trading precious stones such as jade and obsidian. Perhaps because of their authoritarian ruling structure, they were able to harness large workforces to complete giant public works projects, such as the construction of large temples and ceremonial centers. They also maintained sophisticated calendars that would carry on later to other Mesoamerican civilizations. Other ideas from the Olmecs that would carry on in the region include ball games, where participants attempt to kick a ball through a vertical hoop, and human sacrifice. It's this aspect, human sacrifice, that fascinates many students. Why would they perform such rituals that, in the end, require the taking of a human life? The answer, in their view, was a practical one. It was so that the world could live. The Olmecs likely believed that the spilling of blood was required to keep the rain coming and the sun shining so that they could continue to grow the crops needed for survival. After the decline of the Olmecs, another major society arose known as the Maya. The Maya were influenced very heavily by the Olmecs. Many of the Olmec practices, such as the ball game, ceremonial centers, and human sacrifice, lived on with the Maya. And it's the Olmec who likely inspired the Mayan calendar, which they took further. It's thought to be the first 365-day calendar based on the position of the stars. This suggests that the Maya held pretty profound knowledge of astronomy, which requires a sophisticated mathematics system. In fact, the Maya in Central America, along with the Indus of South Asia, are credited with inventing the concept of zero, a value that is necessary to the complex equations involved with the study of astronomy. The Maya were also the only American society to develop a complete writing system. Unfortunately for us, we cannot use their writing to learn much about them. Most of their literary works were destroyed by the Spanish conquistadors of the 16th century, who believed the writings to be evil and of the devil. One work that has survived, though, is the Popol Vuh. That's spelled P-O-P-U-L space V-U-H. This is the Mayan creation tale. This can be found online and could provide a good mental exercise for a motivated world history student. Compare this creation tale to those found in the Hindu or Judeo-Christian traditions. Moving south to the Andes Mountains, another society was developing. Being in the mountainous regions of South America, Andean societies had no contact whatsoever with the Mesoamerican societies. But by circa 2000 BCE, many crops were under cultivation and large ceremonial centers were constructed throughout the region. The first regional states, like the Mochica, tried to establish and create a regional kingdom, or even an empire. But they were unsuccessful at this due to the geography, the mountains. It kept them from spreading out. It's not until much later with the Inca that a single state would be able to complete this task in the region. The Mochica had no writing system, which is typical of South American societies, but their art and pottery work is among the most intricate of any civilization and depicts a complex social hierarchy, including classes ranging from wealthy aristocrats to humble beggars. Elaborate ceramic heads of the Mochica depict individuals, gods, and demons, suggesting a sophisticated religious foundation as well. The early history of Oceania, moving on to the other subject of this podcast. Oceania, by the way, would be Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific Islands. But the early history of Oceania concerns human migration to seemingly remote and difficult to reach places. Humans traveled to these islands using boats, during a time when lower water levels and less enormous expanses of water made such travel possible. This was about 60,000 years ago. At that time, humans were still hunters and gatherers, and that practice was continued by Australian Aborigines really until the modern age. Soon, humans started to migrate to other parts of the Pacific from Australia. These Austronesians migrated to New Guinea around 3000 BCE. Soon, many people in New Guinea began to settle down and turn to agriculture and herding animals. This idea of agriculture would spread eastward along trade routes to the Polynesian Islands. Austronesians were explorers and migrated to many other parts of the Pacific, such as Micronesia and Madagascar. In fact, it's the Austronesians who are credited with bringing bananas to Madagascar. This common route, this common heritage, and the interactions created by travel and trade allowed the peoples of Samoa, Tonga, Hawaii, and other Polynesian islands to develop similar complex political, social, and economic traditions to their counterparts living in other parts of the world. This included agricultural villages, advanced pottery, and trading networks. Well, that about wraps up episode 6. If you have any questions, please email me at mrjeffreyon@gmail.com. Special thanks to Tanner once again for making this episode possible. Tune in next time for episode 7 as we discuss the empires of Persia. This has been Mr. Jeffreyon's World History Podcast.